Good morning.
You're just in time.
Welcome to the St. Gabriel Cafe, your sacred space to sip on today's local blend of faithful encouragement.
Let's start our day together.
Good morning. Come on in, pull up a chair. I'm Dave Orsborn.
And I'm Amanda Miller, friends, and we are thrilled to have you here with us in the St. Gabriel Cafe, our live and local morning show.
This morning, we'll be joined by our friends Jean Falter and Keith Lusher for a discussion of some of the myths surrounding marriage, divorce, and annulments, and how a ministry that they're involved in brings hope and healing into these situations. Good morning, Cam. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Allergies are kicking in for sure, but you know, surviving.
That time of year.
It was bright when I woke up this morning, though.
Oh,
which is a good time of year.
That's exciting for sure.
It's just nice that you're able to wake up when it's light.
Sorry. No, but like 6 a.m. right now is different than 6 a.m. in December.
Dave
right?
just always so, wakes up in the dark because he's such an early riser. It doesn't matter what time of year it is.
He's like Batman that way.
Kind of gross, actually.
You're fighting the enemies of the dark. Thank you, Dave.
That's it. Pick up your cross.
Shall we pray?
Let's do it.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for another day. Lord, you say, let Judah go up before you. And so we offer our praise up before, just in a gratitude and thanksgiving for all you are doing in our lives, despite even some hardships. Lord, we praise you because you are about good work and you're leading us to yourself, drawing us closer to you in every way. Lord, we ask for truly humble hearts to walk with you this Holy Week, to be affected by your journey to the cross, to grieve with you, to mourn with you, to suffer with you, to be in that passion with you, so that when we experience the resurrection, we can come into full joy with you as well. We thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing for us. We just ask for hearts to love you more. We offer all of our intentions, everyone who has asked for our prayers, through the intercession of Mary, and in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Here we are on Wednesday of Holy Week, also known as Spy Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also the anniversary of the passing of Mother Angelica, who passed away on this date in 2016, which would make it 8 years ago. Like how I did that?
It's that Duolingo math that you're doing,
isn't
it?
That's it. Yep, it's paying off. See how quickly I did that math.
Good job.
It's also the feast of St. Rupert of Salzburg. So he was a 7th century bishop, the Bishop of Worms.
Sorry. I don't know where that is.
Bavaria, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Bavaria.
How would you say that in Bavarian?
Oh, I don't know.
Worms?
Maybe.
Probably. Yeah. Worms do need a bishop, so.
And all the good, faithful people of Worms. So today's gospel here on Spy Wednesday is from Matthew chapter 26. This is verses 14 to 25. So you have it, Amanda?
Yes. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He said, "You have said so."
Amen. Cam, do you want to start?
Sure. Just thinking about that last little discourse between Judas and our Lord, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi," and Jesus' answer, "You have said so," and how much the Lord gives us in our free will, like, that kind of autonomy, you know, that we get, like, he's so patient with us. And even here, I don't think, because I often have to check the way that I'm, like, reading the tone of voice, right? Jesus isn't upset or, like, angry with Judas, I don't think. I think he's being patient and merciful with him and being permissive, allowing Judas to say that, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi," knowing full well this man's about to go and betray me, right? And yet he doesn't say, like, "No, Judas, it is you," like you dummy or whatever, right? No, he says, "You've said so, Judas." But, like, I'm trying to picture, like, that look in Jesus's eyes as he looks at Judas that way and says, "You have said so." That just, like, patient, longing, loving look that he, I'm sure, gives all of us every time we turn away from him. And just, like, those eyes that almost, like, beg you to come back to him, right? I think it's that moment that really stands out to me in my life, too. Every time I turn away from the Lord and whatever sins I'm struggling with or dealing with, the ways that I fall to temptation, of how I need to be reminded of the way that Jesus looks at me that way and calls me back to him that way. Even when he says, "You have said so," he still, like, he doesn't leave. He patiently waits for me to come back.
I think in my own reflection, at first I was struck by, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" And then again, it says, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And I'm just struck by, you know, I think sometimes listening to the scriptures or really trying to enter into the season, and especially in Holy Week, there could be a temptation to be distant from it somehow, because maybe there's a thought of, "Oh, I would never betray my Lord in that way." But in some ways, maybe in, of course, in smaller ways, we're all guilty of being sinners, right? And our capacity to betray our Lord in one way or the other. And so taking myself in a humble attitude of, yeah, there are ways that I have fallen short of whatever the Lord is calling me to, in whatever way he's calling me to love my neighbor, to serve my neighbor, to follow him more fervently, or to dive deeper into my faith, or really be a genuine witness and not be afraid to proclaim his word and his goodness through my life and my action and my words. And so hearing, "Surely it is not I," and taking a humble approach of, okay, yes, actually, there are plenty of times that I do fall, and there are plenty of times that I can enter into this season recognizing my own ways in which I have maybe been a Judas, but then again, like Cam, like you said, he's the Lord doesn't condemn us with these maybe words without mercy, but I mean, Judas was there up until the time that he was doing the Passover, right? And he didn't send, he didn't say, no, get away from me, because I know you're going to betray me. He was with him up until that very last moment. And our Lord, you know, wants us with him and yeah, invites us all to that mercy, just like we know he did with Peter when he turned again to him.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you. Yeah, I had a similar reflection. Jesus says, one of you will betray me. And, you know, they're all at meal together. And he didn't say, Judas, you will betray me. So he opened this to, I think, reflection for all of them sitting around the table with the Lord, as well as all of us, you know, sitting around the table with the Lord and spending time with him, and to hear him say, one of you, you know, will betray me. And right away, it's like, oh, is it me?
Mm-hmm.
And with the 30 pieces of silver, we know what Judas's price was. But, you know, what do we receive? What's our price? In the ways that we turn from the Lord, turn our backs on him, you know, at what cost? What's the world offering us for that act? Mm-hmm. You know, what are we receiving? So much to pray for and about. As we head into the Triduum.
Mm-hmm. I think a special way to also continue entering into this with our Lord is to look up Isaiah 53 and to just sit in the scripture where Isaiah 53 talks about the suffering servant.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Good. Good, good, good. Friends, coming up in just a couple minutes, we're grateful, number one, that you're with us this morning. And we're also grateful to invite our friends Gene Falter and Keith Lusher into the St. Gabriel Cafe for a discussion on the myths surrounding marriage, divorce, and annulments, and the hope and healing that's available to people in these situations. So stay with us. You're listening to the St. Gabriel Cafe.
My Jesus, before you ascended into heaven, you prayed that we would all be one, as you and your Father are one. But today, Lord, we seem more divided than ever. We are divided over political beliefs, gender, religion, ethnicity, color, and economic status. It is a division that cuts deeply, even through our closest relationships. You have warned us, Lord, that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Help me to remember that you are the cornerstone of this house, that your precepts, not ours, are the path to everlasting joy. Empower me with your grace to be an agent of healing and a proclaimer of truth and hope to this troubled world, one heart at a time. Armed with your sacred word, the sacraments, and the wisdom of the saints, you have given me everything I need to make a difference. You have created me for such a time as this, Lord, and I am ready to do your will. Amen.
Do you have a minute for lasting happiness? Living virtuously is the way to freedom, happiness, and holiness. To grow in virtue, we must learn about it, practice it, and persevere in it. This is what the saints have achieved with excellence. An excellent example of the virtue of trustworthiness is seen in Saint Bernard. He lived trustworthiness heroically, by acting in a way that inspired people to place their confidence in him. Bernard's judgment was known to be so reliable that when he entered the Cistercian order, his brothers and friends followed him into the monastery. His trustworthiness grew so strong that popes even asked him for advice. Let us ask Saint Bernard to pray for us, that we too may grow in trustworthiness. Educate yourself in virtue. Learn more at educationinvirtue.com.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. A friend recently said to me that she doesn't enjoy exercise, but she enjoys walking. I laughed a little and said that I considered walking to be exercise, and so much more. Walking can be a time of silent introspection for prayer and reflection on the activities of our day. It can also be a time when we hear God speak to us. We may feel moved to pray and give thanks for our family, our health, and for the beauty of creation that surrounds us. Sacred Scripture gives us a beautiful story of Jesus walking to Emmaus with the two disciples. It wasn't until later, at the breaking of the bread, that the disciples realized that Jesus was moving their hearts while on the walk. From Luke 24, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Let us pray. Jesus, may the simple act of walking, both physically and spiritually, bring us closer to you. Amen.
Welcome back, friends, to the St. Gabriel Cafe. I'm Amanda Miller.
I'm Dave Orsborn, and we are thrilled to have our friends Jean Falter and Keith Lusher here in the St. Gabriel Cafe. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Great to be here.
Jean, let's start with you by way of introductions. So you're a parishioner at St. Joan of Arc?
Right. It's now St. Peter, St. Joan of Arc.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yep.
And yes, I am. I've been a parishioner. I was at St. Peter's for like 25 years and then went to St. Joan of Arc. So I know people both places.
It's almost one big campus. I mean,
it is.
The churches are very close together.
It's going to be called South Campus and North Campus.
Oh, okay.
So you picked the right word.
How about that?
Yeah.
Keith, you're over in NERC?
NERC, Ohio, as we appropriately pronounce it now, although I'm not a native. I know that's where you grew up, Dave.
It is.
And
I had the shirt that said it.
Yeah, indeed. So, St. Francis of Sales, been there since I remarried a couple of years ago and moved out there and loving it, but still in many ways missing St. Catherine and my friends back there in East Columbus.
Well, thank you guys for being with us. You're here representing a ministry here in the Diocese of Columbus called Non Salom. Hopefully that's... for my Latin friends can send me a text if I got it wrong.
Indeed they will.
Never Alone. So this is a ministry for separated and divorced Catholics, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So Keith, why don't you start with some of your story on how you came to this?
Well, I got married in my early 20s, and I was raised Catholic, went through 12 years of Catholic school, but unfortunately when I shouldn't say unfortunately, it was God's will for whatever, but I married in my early 20s, I married a non-Catholic, and I let myself fall away from the faith, and so I was still worshiping in a Methodist church, a good community, but over time... that marriage was not, I mean, it ultimately after 20 years, collapsed, and I found myself really in despair, and feeling isolated, feeling alone and abandoned in many, many different ways. And it was during that time I came back to the church. I came back to the faith, and ultimately I kind of felt inwardly, I always knew I was coming back one way or another. And I have to say it was the saving grace and then I discovered divine mercy shortly after coming back into the faith. I attended the men's conference back in February of 2011, and where he had Father Gately doing his talk.
Yeah.
And I still remember I was able to get the recording of that thing. And if I had that recording on a cassette tape, that cassette tape would be completely worn out. And so I guess as far as like personal apostolates go, spreading that message to everybody I could, almost probably to the point of annoying people, was my first it enabled me to, in a very tangible way, to live my faith on a daily basis as opposed to, you know, where do I go on Sunday mornings. But I also discovered that there were, you know, obviously the church, I think we can all agree it's painful and difficult and traumatic to go through any kind of divorce and separation, regardless of what the circumstances are, regardless of whether the other person left or you felt you needed to remove yourself from the situation. But let's be candid, it's even more challenging if you're Catholic. Mm. And it also became apparent to me that it is a cause for a lot of folks to leave the church. Because they because of these myths that we might discuss a little bit of.
Right.
They don't know what they don't know. And you know, that they feel it, and even Catholics don't really know what the truths are about the about this area. So it really became something I felt called to try to share. And I discovered and learned about the Rose Sweets program, Surviving Divorce. And I got exposed to it at Grove City at or Lady Perpetual Help, and we started doing it in St. Catharines. And I also wanted to encourage other parishes to adopt this not even necessarily a program itself per se. The program is simply one tool, one means to an end of reaching out to other Catholics who are feeling isolated, alone, and to the false belief that their church doesn't want them.
Mm. Very good. We'll dive deeper into those, because I like how this is set up as mercy, hope, and healing.
Indeed.
And Jean, I want to hear your story.
I was married 37 years, and my husband left, and I was shocked. I didn't know where to go. There was nothing out there for a Catholic. I'm a cradle Catholic, had 16 years of Catholic education, and didn't know what to do. I did meet a lady that was working at St. Michael's doing a little program. It wasn't like a canned program, like, I don't call it canned, but Surviving Divorce with Rose Sweet. Mm-hmm. But it helped. And I just remember sitting at my desk saying, there's got to be something more. There's just got to be something more. So I remember sitting there praying, and I read in the Catholic Times about Surviving Divorce, and it was Keith's article, and this was, I don't know how many years ago, 15, 12, anyhow, and I thought, so I called, and then I thought, I cannot do a divorce class. You know, I just felt, but the Lord had other ideas, and I went to the church, and we were able to start a Surviving Divorce class, and so I've been doing it since 2016, and it would change a little bit with COVID, mm-hmm. The classes seem to be smaller now. But what I want to say is people just don't know there's something out there for them. And when the people we just finished a class last week, and they were so appreciative that they aren't the only divorced Catholic out there. I think that's number one. Number two, that there is hope for them with the annulment process. And my parish father, Shaw, came in and talked to our group about the annulment process. And that really helps, because I didn't know anything about it. I'm not even sure I knew the word, you know,
yeah.
As I went through that. So it has been a gift to me and to all the people who have participated in Surviving Divorce classes.
Now, does Surviving Divorce address both self-healing as well as reconciliation with the church?
Yes, I would say it does, because you know it's a 12-week program that the point is to get people up on the facts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, when you have the facts, then you can make better decisions, and you can also helps you keep your emotions in check. Because let's face it, if we're letting our emotions drive us, or we're letting the devil whispering in our ear influence our decisions and our attitudes, because that's, you know, if there's a void of truth in our hearts and in our minds, the devil's going to fill that with lies.
What kind of lies were you listening to?
Nobody wants me. I'm not good enough. I'm beyond forgiveness.
Where'd I go wrong?
And of course, yeah, and it's not about it. It is about understanding our own role, the mistakes that we may have made, but the fact that we have, first of all, Jesus is one of us. this gospel reading that we had is, I thought was, we were talking off the air, it's perfectly timed, perfect segue, because Jesus knows the pain and anguish of being an abandoned spouse. And I mean, probably, I mean, and every person who has been through this, Catholic, Christian or not, should take solace in understanding that he's walked that path. I had no idea the anguish that one experiences until I experienced it myself. And if you haven't experienced it yourself, you don't have a clue.
Was your journey, Gene, similar? I mean, were those the same sorts of lies that you were being told?
I couldn't believe it, because I didn't know anyone divorced. And in my whole life, I didn't know anyone divorced. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because you just think, what did you do wrong? Where did you go wrong? There's no one. Who can I talk to? I actually had someone say to me, I don't want to be around you because I'm afraid I'll catch the divorce. Within the first year, it was actually afraid to be around me. So I don't think I lost people. The hardest thing when I switched from St. Peter's over was the people there kept asking, well, where is your husband? Did he die? And so that was just too hard for me. I didn't want to tell him. I didn't want to tell anybody I was divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And through this, and one of the things about this program is you find out there are people out there just like you, thinking the same things, going through the same things. And it is such a gift when they leave. They just say, I'm not the only one. They have gotten hope and healing, and they're ready to move on. They always want to know what else is out there. What more can we do? So, mm-hmm.
I have an answer to that question.
Good.
Because, again, this is not about plugging a packaged program. It's published by Ascension Press, mm-hmm. and it's been out for about 10 years. But beyond that, you know, we've had times where there really isn't been a lot going on, and the whole lockdown fiasco we had experienced didn't help anything either, right?
Right.
So, but people are often will send an email or call me because they might get my information from the diocese or online, and they're asking often, when's the next program start? And when's the next program start? You know, I often, unfortunately, have not been able to give them the type of answer they want to hear, because it's not like we got something starting up in your neighborhood next week, right? But they're not really looking for a quote-unquote program per se. They're looking for connection.
Community.
Exactly.
Right. Absolutely.
Someone who is willing to just listen to them. And my hope and prayer for this apostolate to grow is not as much in getting surviving divorce into all these different program, different dioceses, but to build a community of folks who are willing to serve as a shepherd, so to speak, mm-hmm. to put that lost sheep on their shoulders, mm-hmm. and carry them back to the flock.
Mm. To be the eyes of mercy,
right,
to others.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Because unfortunately, the church has really improved, I think. I think we can all agree, but there's still work to be done. And a lot of it is education. But the experience of far too many people still to date has been, can be defined in simple four word expression, all rules, no mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what Jesus was. I've been watching the Chosen again recently, and and I think, Dave, when you and I spoke last week on the phone, you know, Jesus goes into that pagan temple and sees the guy, and turns out that it's the zealot's brother. He's been there, you know, and he tells him, get up and pick up your mat and walk.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pharisees are there, and they're ticked off because he's breaking the rules. I mean, you know. Yeah. But so that, I think that's there's a lot to be learned from that.
Well, it's telling the story, right? And that's where, let's bust some of these myths. Because there is mercy available. It's not that the rules have changed. It's where what we have to do is better have a better understanding and a better communication.
Exactly.
Of what the church really says.
Express
here.
Truth. So, expressing truth, but truth devoid of love and mercy is not what Jesus intended. I think we can all conceptually agree to that.
Yeah. Keith Lusher, Gene Falter are in the cafe this morning. We're talking about hope and healing for separated and divorced Catholics. Which myth do you want to go after first? Pick one.
Gene, well, I mean, leave it to you.
I mean, from your personal experience, what was a myth that stopped you from finding the hope and healing?
Well, I knew nothing about annulments when I back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then when I learned about them, I didn't think I was real happy about that. And people kind of say, well, look what all happened during the marriage. And it was a very hard concept for me. I have it now, that it's not what went on in the marriage. It's what you missed before the marriage. And that is really a hard concept, I think. And even this past group I just finished with, it was very hard for them to understand. Father Schock came in and talked about it and did a line. I just put the line, just a mark in the whole line, a vertical line. And then you're married. What happened before you're married? So it was very clear. It was just a very good explanation. And a simple line showed what happened. Who said to you, why are you going to marry that guy? Why are you married? And of course you're going to do it. So that helps. So I think annulment is one of the hardest pieces. In my group, this past group with eight people, no one had an annulment or had really heard or was educated about an annulment. So that's one thing I think the church needs to talk about. And I know in our parish, Father Schock's going to have something in the fall and just call people in just to talk about annulments.
Mm-hmm. And the graphic illustration that you were talking about, I think to sort of sum it up is, in the culture, divorce looks at divorce. And first of all, an annulment's not a Catholic divorce. All right. That's one of the things that's out there that is just not true. But a divorce will typically look at how a marriage ended. The annulment process, to Gene's point and to the illustration that her pastor put out there, looks at how a marriage began. Because the circumstances in place, the complete, full consent of the will and everything else, all those elements had to be in place up front for that marriage to be valid. And that's the question that's being raised and what people look at. So they are they're completely different almost every way. But again, a lot of folks don't really understand that those opportunities are out there to help someone heal, to help someone move on. And even the process of going through and the questionnaire, the questions that need to be addressed, they're open-ended questions. There's like 25 of them or something like that, and it takes time to go through. That itself is an exercise of personal reflection.
It's a painful process, and you're opening up a lot of wounds. But through that reflection, through that process, it is where the healing is.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
Keith Lusher, Gene Falter here in the cafe with us. They're with Non-Salum, Never Alone, for a ministry for divorced Catholics. Another myth is the, maybe tied into the annulment, that when you get divorced, you're excommunicated and you can't have reconciliation or relationship with the church until you have an annulment. Wrong.
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. I didn't feel that way. And really, groups that have come in have not felt that.
Okay. Well, maybe not the excommunicated, but I know in our family, though, is situations where their understanding was, until you go through the annulment process, you're really not welcome in the church. that you're in a situation where you're just not a part of things.
Yeah. Which just goes back to the point that needs to be explained better with the church in so many ways for all the people that go through a divorce and think they'll just walk away from the church not knowing. And that's just another example of that.
Yeah, and to set the record straight on that myth, obviously it's not true. Otherwise, we wouldn't be calling it a myth. But the
spoiler,
yeah, just but all right. So, what is the reality? An individual is either living within the precepts of church teaching, or they're not. Mm-hmm. All right, so. Someone like and associated with what you were raising, Dave, I think the more common myth is not as much about being not welcome in the church, but you can't receive communion.
Okay, right? Good.
So you can't go to can't go to communion. That's actually on this handout that we distributed on our website. Divorced Catholics cannot receive communion. That's not true. The other. Oh man, it's just a spider web here. But the other one, that's also tied to, well, the only issue, the only time that really applies is if someone is divorced and then remarried outside of the church without a prior annulment. Okay. That's the case where if technically, as far as the church is concerned, they're still married to their previous spouse. And if they're in a civil marriage with another person and living that way accordingly as one would perceive, then they're committing adultery and they're not, you know, so they're not living in line. But one does not need to be divorced and remarried outside of the church without a prior annulment to not live within the precepts of the church. I mean, anyone who is not living within certain guidelines, I mean, we all sin and we confess our sins and we reconcile ourselves. But that's the situation. That's the cause. If you're divorced or separated and you're still sacramentally married, but maybe civilly divorced, and you're living rightly, you're living chastely and everything else, there's no reason why you should not be able to present yourself for the Eucharist. And so there's like three myths that kind of tied together here, you know?
Yeah.
And the last point I'll make is on that topic is when Pope Francis, you know, issued several years ago, and he issued this encyclical, I believe, or whatever the expression is, and it raised a lot of questions. It confused people. What's Pope Francis saying? Is he saying that the folks who are suddenly should be able to receive the Eucharist? I don't necessarily think that's the case. My understanding is he's trying to emphasize mercy. So if let's say we know someone who's coming to Mass and they're with their second spouse, but they may not have done everything the way it should have been done. And to Gene's point, there's a lot of ignorance out there. How does one approach that person? How does one educate them and enlighten them to the truth? So it's not about us or the church enforcing some kind of arbitrary laws. Mm-hmm. It's about opening them up to themselves up to the truth and helping the Holy Spirit inspire them in a way to want to learn more, to want to take the steps to do things the way God wants them done.
Keith Lesher and Gene Falter, we're talking about healing and hope for divorced Catholics. What you're providing through the ministry is information and a pathway to understanding. It's a lot of information on the website, and the website is
It's divorcedcatholiccolumbus.org.
Yeah. The program that Rose Sweet put together is at the heart of the church. And what I would encourage people in these situations, of course, to visit and get information, but really it's good information for all Catholics to have. So you know how to have these conversations, have these discussions, So it opens up that pathway to understanding. Gene, in your situation with Father Schalk also, if you're in whatever situation, talk to your pastor.
Absolutely.
And find out the facts of what the church teaches and mm-hmm. what that path forward in reconciliation and healing looks like. Because the church does have the answers.
Right, absolutely. And the deacons can help you also.
Good.
Because I went through my annulment with a deacon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say, too, the other thing when you asked the question, things that are tough. A lot of people think when you have a group getting together that's divorced or doing this program, I heard so many people say, are you just sitting there bashing your spouses? And I can't tell you how many people really thought that. So there's another, that is not going on at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are really there helping each other and learning to move on. So I want to make sure that any kind of divorce class or a group together is not bashing spouses.
Mm-hmm. I want to chime in on that as well, because I've actually, Jean and I were talking on the phone yesterday, and she was telling me about that, and I thought that was amazing. The two additional points on to that. First of all, it's also a reason why we always emphasize it's men and women in these sessions together. All right. I got a call a couple years ago. I got a call from a lady out in Arizona and wanted to just start it at her church, but she wanted to make it for women only. And Rose would be the first person to tell you, no way. You've got to have it mixed because men and women, they might hurt in different ways, but they hurt nevertheless just as much. And the way that a pain is expressed, I think we can all acknowledge it's harder to get men to come to these things than women, right?
One thing I've been blessed with, I've had men in every single class with the women. And it's huge. It's important because it's not just women that are hurting. As you just said, it's men too. And it's been a blessing. I even pray for men to come to class so that, because then they can see, see, but everybody's hurting in a divorce. Mm-hmm. Not just one person.
And I'll tell you, when you're the only guy in a room surrounded by a bunch of, it doesn't make it easier on my side. So, yeah, yeah. And I've had this. I can't say I've had that luck that Gene has had. But the second point is bashing the spouse is verboten, right?
Right. Not even part of the program.
Yeah. And it's one that, don't mistake me. In these sessions, it's a closed door conversation, and it is raw, unfiltered, and visceral. But we do not let the devil feast.
Mm.
We don't feed that demon. We acknowledge it for what it is, and we put it in a box. And the way we do that is this is one of the other true blessings of this. Of this I don't want to say the ministry, the blessings, the payback that we get for the pain that we experience when we understand the true nature of forgiveness. And one of the most important points that I think the program articulates it very well is what is forgiveness? Forgiveness in the Aquinas tradition is the same as love. You know, it's willing the good of the other for the sake of the other. And that's something we emphasize so much that, you know what, you can still have your feelings. You can still have your emotions, but you keep them in check. And do you want that other person to make it to heaven? Yes or no?
Hmm.
And if you can will yourself to say, you know what? If they spend an extra 10,000 years in purgatory beforehand, okay. But if they make it to heaven, that's the way I want to see it. And it's not necessarily what I want, but it's what God wants. And I certainly know that if I don't want that person to make it to heaven, I'm never going to be there. And that is liberating.
That's so true.
That is so liberating because you realize, and Father Calloway is one of the participants in this program. He's interviewed on camera, and he talks about you can love someone and not like them at all. So you don't want to ever hate anybody. But you can love them in the sense that God loves them, and you want them to make it to heaven, and ultimately you'll see them there, and hopefully things won't be as awkward.
Keith Lesher, Gene Falter here. We're talking about a ministry here in the Columbus Diocese, Non Salome, Never or Not Alone, a ministry for divorced and separated Catholics. The website also want to mention divorcedcatholiccolumbus.org. Friends, if you're interested on surviving divorce, the program that Rose Sweet put together, there's, I believe, two really good shows on the St. Gabriel Archive. If you look for under Family Sanctuary, the show with Peggy Hartshorn, Peggy did two shows with Rose Sweet. So you can just type in Rose Sweet, like sweet sugar, Sweet, and you'll find these shows. They were done just a few years ago, and a really good introduction into the program and Rose's testimony. So be sure to check that out at stgabrielradio.com. Let's come back around to Divine Mercy, because we're heading into the Easter season and then into Divine Mercy Sunday. Tell us more, Keith, just about the role of Divine Mercy and St. Faustina in your healing.
Well, the logo that we have for our apostolate reflects the rays of the blood and water. Everything is about Divine Mercy. The mercy of, and I guess what, and I tell you, when you're going through an experience, as Gene and I have shared, that we went through in different ways ourselves, and we've interacted with others, we're being told by the devil whispering in our ear that we're rejected, that we're not wanted, and so on and so forth. We got to remember that singular, for me, the singular moment in the parable of the prodigal son is when the son is approaching his father's home, and the father does not wait for the son to crawl up and beg for mercy or forgiveness. What does he do?
Mm-hmm. He runs.
He runs out to him because he's constantly watching and waiting. The magnitude of God's mercy is beyond our comprehension. And Divine Mercy is simply, it's actually just Sacred Heart 2.0, mm-hmm. right? I mean, let's face it. Mm-hmm. The message and the devotions, they're pretty much the same. Sacred Heart came out at one point in the world, in history of Jansenists and everything else. You know, God sees what's going on in the world and intervenes constantly. Then it happened again with St. Faustina. But I learned, personally, I just learned about Divine Mercy when I came back, and I just grasped onto it like a life preserver. And I knew that that folks who are going through separation, divorce, and feeling isolated and abandoned, everybody needs Divine Mercy, but Divine Mercy is a way of anchoring them to this truth and to find healing. And
I like your comment. Everyone needs it, obviously. We're all in need of mercy. And in this context of the discussion of divorced and separated Catholics, it's not only the spouses that are hurt. There's grandparents, there's parents, there's children that can all benefit from Divine Mercy, but then also find hope and healing in the church. And
well, Dave, I think to that point also, excuse me, and Keith, from what I heard from your story, and Gene, there is a real feeling of maybe isolation or abandonment, and how healing it can be to enter into a community where you don't feel alone, where you don't feel abandoned. And I think the way that we can love our brothers and sisters is to really, like you said, be like the father in the son with the prodigal son, be like the father and being that merciful heart to everyone that we encounter, you know, whether divorce, separate, or just in general, we all have hurts, right? And I think each and every one of us can reflect on how can I be the merciful heart of the Father to others.
I think that's what happens in the groups. I mean, it took a while. It takes a while sometimes. But I wanted to make one thing that Keith said earlier is in the groups, it no one comes in the group in and out. It's after 3 weeks, no one new can come in. So I want people to know it. It's very private and nothing leaves that group. And I have a questionnaire on just the mercy piece and everything from someone who wrote this just last week. I get way more than I expected from this group. Mm-hmm. I was skeptical at first, but then I felt so encouraged and blessed to be part of this group after every session.
That's a beautiful testimony.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I know.
The website, divorcedcatholiccolumbus.org. We've talked about groups. What's on the horizon, Keith?
Well, I guess we are offering another, I mean, St. Joan of Arc.
St. Joan of Arc would be in the fall.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they'll be doing it again in the fall, and we'll be able to put the schedule out for that. And she's just wrapped up a pretty successful session. We are starting up again in mid-April at St. Francis de Sales. And the registration, the links are on our website, and you can see the schedule. We're doing a sort of a come and see session on the 14th. We're doing our Sunday mornings,
mm-hmm.
And between the two masses. One of the challenges, and I'm sure Gene can speak to this, is that there's always, you know, you schedule something on a Wednesday or on a Thursday or on a Tuesday, and there's always someone who says, well, I can't do that night or blah, blah, blah. And it becomes a logistical nightmare because you can't please everyone. And not pleasing everybody. You can't accommodate everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me, let's try Sunday morning. Because hopefully they're going to Mass. And they don't have anything else scheduled. So we did try it last year. We didn't have a really good turnout, but I have to say that's probably on me because I didn't really I was spreading myself too thin at the time, and I didn't really get the word out as effectively as I should have. And but we're going to start a come and see on the Sunday morning of April 14th. And it's no registration necessary. Just come in and learn more about it. Because a lot of folks, they still have no idea what to expect, right?
Right.
They have no idea what it is. Right. I mean, and there are also a lot of folks are really guarded. I mean, they just don't want
to
out themselves.
I can add a little humor to this right now. Two of the people in this past group, I said, how'd you find out about it? They said, my mother made me come. And these are not young people. Two of them. I thought it was hysterical that they were there because their mother heard it at church and they came and they stayed the whole time. So
and actually you speak to something that's really, really important. This is, I mean, again, as we were talking before we went on the air, most of the people we need to reach, they're not listening right now.
Or they're not in church.
And they're not typically, they may or may not be in church, but the point is, we hope to be able to reach them through, you know, again, are you or someone you know and love going mm-hmm. through this? And if you know somebody who's experiencing this, share this with them.
Good.
Let them know that it's there. But yeah, we're doing a come and see
at St. Francis
at
de Saint Sales.
At St. Francis de Sales, yeah.
So that's the location, but you don't have to be a parishioner.
Exactly, I've tried to promote it around Central Ohio is you know, one church is doing it. We want the word spread all over because typically we get people from multiple parishes, and
right.
hopefully
yeah.
the Holy Spirit will move the healing of someone to perhaps take it to their own parish. We do want more parishes to be more proactive in ministering, because there's a silent scream going on out there.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes it's, I mean, how many of us go to a different parish for confession because we don't want to go, right? I mean, so
Dave, you're not supposed to say that.
Well, I was looking at Cam, but I mean, how many of us do that? I mean, because you don't want to go to your own pastor. Right. So, I mean, if you're in the situation where you don't want to go to
your own community,
to this group,
your own church,
yeah,
right,
then this is a wonderful opportunity.
Father Dory used to always joke about recognizing your voice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, so yeah, you know, we got plenty of other priests coming, so you don't want me to recognize your voice, then, you know, go to them. You know, it's sort of a running joke as well, type.
But make that step. I'm so grateful that this ministry is available, because when we were talking about cafe topics that we wanted to cover, we wanted to talk about those that are feeling alone or isolated, or have that feeling that they're outside of the church. And obviously, we're all sinners. We're all in need of the church and of God's mercy. So this is just a wonderful opportunity to invite people.
Right.
And
I want to thank
church.
You for having this topic, yeah, because it needs to be out there.
Glad to do it. Glad to do it. The website is divorcedcatholiccolumbus.org. Gene Falter, Keith Lusher, thanks for being in the cafe with us this morning. God bless
you
both.
Thanks for bringing us in.
And be the first to say happy Easter to you.
A
little bit early. So this is our last live show.
That's right.
Of the
oh,
week.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Not ever.
We'll be back Monday.
We'll be back on Monday.
Thursday, Friday.
Tomorrow we have a best of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And then Friday through Sunday, we'll be with EWTN's programming for the Triduum. But yeah, we will be back on Easter Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So coming up later today on EWTN, of course, a full lineup, Jerry and Debbie at noon, talking about difficult trials that we've all faced. Dr. Ray at 1 o'clock talks about family, marriage, and relationships. Then at 5 o'clock, one that you don't want to miss, Al Cresta talking with Matthew Bunsen about church news and remembering Mother Angelica again on this anniversary, the 8th anniversary of her passing. So let's say a prayer today for Mother Angelica. So wishing you all the opportunity to enter into this remainder of Holy Week. We've had a lot of just wonderful reflections this week on God's mercy, how we're all in need of returning to the Lord, and take advantage now of these opportunities that are available to all of us for reconciliation, healing for ourselves, and then for the church. So God love you all. We'll see you back here Monday morning. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
God love you.